Chapter 1. It was my first vacation in something like 5 years. At least, that's what people back at the office thought. For me, it wasn't just a fun trip to Prague. I'd made some shady decisions in my work, but the last one scared me. At 35, I thought I knew myself. It came as a huge surprise to find I was capable of that much violence. So here I sat, looking for a way out. A new life. If no one at home found out how far past my personal lines I went, then I had time. But I couldn't count on the secret staying quiet for long. For this week, I had two priorities. One, to find a place where I could start again with a new identity, in a country house that I could rent out for retreats or whatever, a place I could hide away like a hermit for a while. The other priority was money. Living costs less here, part of why I chose the Czech Republic, and because my grandmother came from here. My dad named me Sharka after her. I looked almost exactly like her in the few pictures she had kept from her youth. I thought at times someone from the family came back. When the seatbelt sign pinged off after landing, everyone but me rushed to turn on their phones and check in with the world. I treasured the last few minutes of peace and disconnection. But now I needed something to do other than stare out at the passing view of buildings and the barriers between the highway and the surrounding scenery. As soon as the phone found a network, it chimed with a message to remind me my roaming plan was active, and then welcomed me to the local network. I planned to take advantage of the fact that I had a generous data plan, thanks to the law firm where I worked as an investigator. My phone, their plan, a great deal and all the privacy I needed, until I ditched my past life permanently. I had a list of missed calls from Jack Hennessy, one of the partners at the firm. Had my luck failed already? I ignored the notifications. If they'd found out and called the cops, then I would just enjoy my time and face the consequences when I got dragged back. I hated the job anyway, so if they fired me, I wouldn't mind so much. If the police came after me in Prague, a charge of grievous bodily harm would seriously delay my plans. And with the right pressure, someone would call the locals. Jack exerted pressure all day, expertly and liberally. I turned my phone off and closed my eyes. Jet lag was hitting hard. On top of the 9-hour difference, the last time my head hit a pillow was 30 hours ago, thanks to last-minute details on a few cases. The taxi pulled up to my hotel, just a few blocks from the tourist points, but still in a quiet area. Small shops and a couple of restaurants populated both sides of the narrow street. It was warm in the afternoon sun and quiet. I might get comfortable with the lack of honking and yelling. The driver took my bags to the lobby and I paid him and gave him a tip. Checking in was quick. I guess they were used to tired visitors looking forward to their bed and a long nap. Of course, now that I could lay on a bed, my brain craved some entertainment. Between jet lag and now a little guilt at not returning a call that might or might not be the precursor to a jail sentence, I couldn't rest. I'd unpacked and even ironed the few items that needed it. The busy work made me realize how little I had prepared for leaving everything behind. Amassing a load of clothes was never my style. But I should have paid for a second case. My plan hadn't been in the forefront of my thoughts when I packed. For a vacation, not an escape. I had a lot of shopping in my future. The room was small with no balcony, so I couldn't burn off the restlessness by pacing. Even with the time difference, dinner wouldn't be in the next hour. But I was in a new city and possibly my new home. It would do me some good to go out and find my way around. I grabbed my jacket and phone. The jeans and t-shirt I wore on the plane would be fine for a stroll. I had an app that would give me a route to walk, maybe end with an early dinner, and then I could sleep. It didn't feel like a vacation yet. Exhaustion kind of disconnected me from everything. I hoped that would change tomorrow because I didn't have the time to lay around recovering. My phone rang. Jack. I went cold. Why was he so intent on talking to me? To tell me I was fired and dodging an arrest warrant? His hands weren't clean in the situation that sent me on the run. The thought didn't give me much reassurance since he was a lawyer and I couldn't recognize a tort from a contract dispute. I tapped to ignore. I'm a coward. It rang again. This time I accepted the call because I couldn't count on him to give up. And if I had to face the consequences, I needed to know now. I'm on vacation. It's too early in the morning for me to argue, Jack said in his court voice. I felt my body go off fight or flight. When he used the court voice, it meant he was going to persuade me to do something. Hopefully he had no plans to ask me to turn myself in or keep me around until the cops came. I tensed again. Fine, what is it? I need your help, he said. Just like the last time. And would I be in worse trouble after? I'm not in Vancouver. I'm aware. I need help in Prague. I didn't believe in coincidences. No one knew where I'd gone, only that I was on vacation. Jack thought he could put me on a short rein, but I would find out who told him where I was and cut that particular leash. So what does that have to do with me? Don't try to lie. I found you there, and I can find you again if you move on, he said. I have friends who can locate any information I want, and will do what I ask without arguing. I don't know if he meant it to be menacing, but it kind of came off as braggy. Then they can help you, I said. I haven't taken any time off in years, Jack. I hoped that the whine in my voice didn't sound quite so pathetic in his ears. It won't take long. It's not something I can get just anyone to do. I need someone I can trust. Did you need help before you found out I was here? My exhaustion helped me to sound like the bitch I felt, something I usually kept under control. If I'd gone to Hawaii, would he have needed help there? Now that I asked myself that, I realized the answer was yes. Jack had global interests, and some of them were a little shady, and I guessed some of them were more than a little. I could keep arguing, or I could get it over with. Knowing what he wanted might help me turn him down. What do you want? Just listen, he said. I couldn't believe he spoke to me like an employee. I had never been an employee, always a consultant, and we'd both insisted on keeping our relationship clear. But if I didn't let him get to the point, he would never let me say no and carry on with my holiday. I sat on the bed, careful not to lay down and give in to the inevitable drag of sleeplessness. Go ahead. Jack didn't speak for a moment. I heard him cough as though trying to control his emotions. That got my attention more than any comment about my abilities. Jack didn't show emotion. My daughter, Rio, you met her once. He expected a response, and I was in no mood to linger over the conversation. What good would a power move like that do? I remember her. Whatever it took to keep him talking, and no more. I did recall meeting her, though, at a firm celebration. She'd been a very precocious 14. The way she pretended to know everything annoyed the hell out of me until I found out she was about to enter university. Amazing how knowing she did know everything made her less annoying and far more interesting. She went to university in Prague, he said. A private institution, data analysis of some sort. I wanted her to stay home, go to UBC. Another pause. But this time I had nothing to say. My brain wondered why he sent a 14-year-old to a foreign country, And then it caught up, and I realized Rio would be almost 17 by now. He cleared his throat again. She's been kidnapped.